Again, thank you for your prayers. It's good to be back in the pulpit today. And those that watch us online, I know you missed the messages being posted and wondering where in the world they were at. Well, I was sick, very sick, and glad to be well, glad the Lord touched my body, and there was nothing to post, so you didn't miss out on anything. Romans chapter 1 tonight. Romans chapter 1. In the early part of this chapter, we've seen the Apostle Paul affirming the gospel of Jesus Christ as his confidence in all things, and we have been looking most recently at how Paul's confidence was made real by the performance of that gospel, and not only what it had done in his life, but what it had done in the life of those in the Roman church and also of others, believers in general. And that includes our lives as well. Can you imagine where we would be at without the gospel? Can you think about what your life would be like right now if you had not got saved? That's a sad thought, isn't it? How sin could just take control and have its way with you. And the Lord Jesus Christ came in, saved our hearts, saved our souls, and now we've got Him. Amen. We've got the Holy Spirit living within. We've got Helper. We've got spiritual blessings, and we're blessed with those. And we have so much in Christ Jesus, and it's all because of the gospel. And so the gospel is our confidence too. And we saw last how the gospel was the basis of Paul's thanksgiving for the church at Rome, and we read that in verse number 8, and we're going to read verse number 8 again as we get into our verses tonight, it flows a little bit better if you read verse 8 with it. But apart from their faith in the gospel and the gospel's effect on them by their faith, there would have been nothing about this church at Rome that Paul really could have given thanks for. It was the gospel that made them thankworthy. And it's the gospel that makes us thankworthy. The things that I thank Jesus about in your life, it has to do with what the gospel has done for you. And now in the verses before us tonight, we're going to be taking a look at verses 8 through 13. And we see this. The gospel was the basis of Paul's desire to minister to the church of Jesus Christ at Rome. He had a strong desire to minister to them. They had a strong desire to have him come and minister to them. And we're going to see that. Let's take a look and read verses 8 through 13 here. He says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto," in other words, he was hindered, "that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." That was what he wanted there. He wanted to have some fruit in the Roman church. And so we'll leave off reading there. We will read verse number 15 here just a little bit later. But we want you to see that Paul had a strong desire to minister to the church of Jesus Christ at Rome. When it came to ministry, Paul was all in. I mean, he was. That's the only way I know how to describe it. There was no holding back. There was no slack. There in verse number 9, he's calling God to witness. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." And then down in verse number 15, he says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." So we see his strong desire and that he was ready. There was no slack. There was no, Paul's just ashamed of the gospel. or Paul is, you know, he just don't want to minister. He's got a problem with the Roman church. Or, you know, whatever excuse that somebody wanted to say that the reason that Paul had not come, all of that was out the door. Paul wanted to come. Paul wanted to be there, and Paul wanted to minister to that church. The Roman church did not have the benefit of having the book of Acts like we do, or the Pauline epistles like we do, to know how all in that Paul is. I mean, as we read about his ministry, the missionary journeys that he took, and how he ministers in the churches through the written word, the Pauline epistles, we know that just like Paul expressed here, he expresses in the strongest terms that he could express to them in this epistle. He was good about doing that, and there was no hold back when it came to telling these churches what they needed. The Lord had given him a holy boldness. Now, in order that this church might know how earnestly Paul prayed for them and how deeply he yearned to see them, he does invoke God as his witness there in verse number 9. Now, it says, Paul said that he served God with his spirit there in the second part of verse 9. That means that his service to God was not just an outward show, like a lot of times it can be for some people. He was not there to be seen of men. You know, even cold, dead religion can serve idols and other gods which are not God. But in contrast, Paul's service for and to God sprang from deep within his spirit. He had a deep love for the Lord and a deep love for the people of God. And his service sprang from both of that, his love for the Lord and his love for the people of the Lord. And he had a spirit that had been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that he was all in when it came to both the gospel and the ministry. You know, he was all about preaching the gospel, but he was also about ministering to the saints too. And we see here also, I want you to look at the very nature of Paul's prayers for this church. There in the latter part of verse number 9, he says there, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now, there's some important things that we find in just those two verses there. But Paul was clear in verse 9 that the church at Rome was continually in his prayers. You know, we ought to be continually in prayer for our church, haven't we? We ought to be continually in prayer for other churches. We pray for our missionaries and their churches that they have. You know, as we hear every Wednesday night, we share the prayer letters from our missionaries, and they have needs. I mean, right now, COVID has wreaked havoc all across the world. I mean, if you talk about Mongolia, you know, they're not able to meet as a church. They're having to meet online. We know that the Bland's family in Costa Rica, they have had some very difficult navigation of the trying to do church, even suffering. Their whole family suffered COVID at one time, and that was difficult for them to get through. And yet they, in spite of the weakness that was caused them, they continued to go on, and they still continue to go on, even though they have yet to receive physical strength. Well, we partner with them in prayer in those things. And as we hear of fellow ministries and fellow pastors or whatever churches that have certain needs, we partner with them in prayer. And Paul was that way. Paul, he said he prayed for them continually. He said, without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. And we know that Paul was a praying servant of God. Praying was a part of the gospel ministry that was given him. And he mentions here his prayers for the church at Rome. And this is not unusual, as Paul mentioned in his letters to four other churches, in the epistles that he wrote to them as well, how he prayed for them. He prayed for the Ephesians church. He mentions that in Ephesians 1, verses 15 and 16. Prayed for the Philippian church, Philippians 1, verse 3 and 4. Pray for the Colossian church, Colossians 1, 3, and 4, and the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2 and 3. Now, these prayers were specifically directed in what the need of these churches was and how Paul felt led to pray. But he was a praying servant of God. And to begin with, we see here that Paul's prayers involved asking God to allow him to have a prosperous journey to Rome, if it was God's will for him. Now, that's very important, and that we're going to stick right there for just a little bit, okay? Are your prayers according to the will of God? If the Apostle Paul made requests according to the will of God, as he did there in verse 10, then it has to be important for us as well. What this brought to mind whenever I was studying this passage, it brought to mind James 4:15. We're familiar with that. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that, right? We ought to pray according to the Lord's will. And many times you'll hear me say, Lord willing, we'll be doing this or that. And that's the way we ought to be, because it might not be in the Lord's will for us to do that. Or the timing might be different than what we plan. And let me say this, you know, I've seen far too many believers who make their own decisions without praying. It's not a pretty thing. They do that, and they find, oftentimes they'll find that those things that they chose were not in the perfect will of God. They chose to just went ahead and just chose on their own, didn't pray about it, and they chose to go a certain way, and that was not in God's perfect will for them in their lives, or the timing was all wrong, and they wound up outside of what was God's best for them. I don't know about you, but I want what's God's best for me. Amen. We all ought to want that. Now, they could have avoided those wrong steps if they had just prayed first. And how we need to pray and not move without first seeking the Lord and having the Lord's peace in our decisions. And the Lord will give us peace, okay? When we pray about things, we'll have either the peace to go on or peace about not going on, one of the two. And when we pray to the Lord, one of at least three things can happen. And this would be good for you to write down. God can say yes and opens the door. When you pray, sometimes the answer is yes, right? Yeah, that's good. We like that. But, you know, what I really like is the Lord's will. But if the Lord says yes and opens the door, with that, the Lord gives us His peace as we walk in His will. Number two, God can also say no, and He can shut the door. Right? You ever had the door shut? You praying about something and slam shut the door it went. And that no, understand, may or may not be a final no, but listen, we need to be careful that we don't pry open doors that the Lord has shut for our own good. You ever tried to pry open a door that the Lord shut? Not a good thing. Not a good thing. And then the third thing, sometimes God says, wait a while, and shuts the door for the time being, which is what we have here with Paul. Paul just kept praying that the Lord would make a way for him to see the church at Rome, and the Lord did make a way later, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. It was by way of prison. He was going to a Roman prison, going for a trial there in Rome. Know that even the timing of things should be placed in the Lord's hands. The church at Rome wanted Paul to come to Rome, and Paul wanted to go to the church at Rome. And up to this point, the Lord had said no. Paul knew that if it was in the will of God, it would happen in God's timetable, not in Paul's timetable, not in the Roman church's timetable. It needed to be in God's timetable. But we noticed that up to this point, it had not been in the will of God. He mentions that in verse 13. He said, now I would not have you ignorant brethren that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you. I mean, he was trying to plan a trip to come, but was let hitherto. He was hindered. Something hindered him from being able to go. In fact, understand it was almost a quarter of a century, 25 years elapsed from Paul's beginning in the ministry to the time that God allowed him to go to Rome. It's a long time, isn't it? In fact, it was almost to the end of his ministry. Beginning of his ministry, almost to the end, before he ever got to go. And understand that when God finally allowed the Apostle Paul to go to Rome, it was as a prisoner. And so there's that. Be careful what you pray for, right? sometimes the Lord answers prayer in ways that are beyond our ability to comprehend. And that was even in God's will of him going there the way that he did. So Paul had a strong desire to minister to the church of Jesus Christ at Rome and pray to that end. Second thing I want us to see in verse number 11 is Paul's purposes in wanting to go to Rome. His purposes. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established." So I see a couple of things here. We see Paul's first purpose in wanting to go to Rome, simply to see them. Yeah, he loved believers. I like believers, amen. Don't you like believers? I like being around believers. And there's been times when it's been a long time since I saw somebody, and it's great to get back together with them from another church. I had a preacher friend that Tuesday morning, when I took Susan to the airport, I just went on up to Brunswick. Took that time to go meet with a friend of mine for lunch. He's a pastor in Claxton. He was the very first fella to preach a revival for me. He was an evangelist back then, and so you know I longed to see him and longed to talk to him. We have a good relationship. He and I are like minded, and we talk on the phone from time to time, but sometimes it's just good to see somebody. And so we were able to go out to lunch together. I was with my brother in the morning, with my 96-year-old aunt. She was fixing to turn 96 later that week. In the afternoon, I got back home, had a great day, and then, of course, the sickness hit me that night, that evening. It had nothing to do with the day. It just had to do with my system. The way that things work. I've been battling these issues in my body for over 25 years now, and the Lord has not seen fit to withdraw that thorn in the flesh. So I live with it, and I live with it the best I can. But what we see here is Paul's first purpose in wanting to go to Rome was simply to see them. Paul mentions that he had a longing. He said a yearning, you know, it's a yearning or a desire to see them there and to see them. I'm talking about the church. Now, not a church building. Church is not a building. This is not the church. You're the church, okay? Understand that. The local church is the assembly of believers who have been called out by God for His purposes. And Paul knew that he could be an encouragement to this local church just by his coming to them. He knew they desired to see him, he desired to see them, and they could mutually benefit just from seeing one another. But that wasn't it. That wasn't all that was involved here. We see that Paul's second purpose in wanting to go to Rome was to edify them. I'm going to use the word edify. There in the latter part of verse 11, he says, "To the end that that I may impart some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established." That's building them up is what he's talking about here. Part of Paul's longing was his desire to edify them and help them in their maturity. And we see him mentions that there in that verse. Now, I want you to turn to Ephesians 4. Only place I'm going to have you turn tonight, but I want us to take a look at some spiritual gifts here for a moment, and understand that these spiritual gifts that we're talking about here, the Apostle Paul had all of these, and he could use these in the churches that he visited to build up these local congregations. Now, not everybody has all these spiritual gifts. In fact, some of these gifts are not even for today anymore. Verse number 11, Ephesians 4, verse number 11. It says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now let me ask you, let's just stop right here. Was Paul an apostle? He was. We done established that, right? Early in an earlier message. Was he a prophet? Yep. He is given it with, there's prophecy that is in his writings that are there. Was he an evangelist? Very much so. He was all about preaching the gospel and seeing folks get saved, wasn't he? He was. And was he a pastor teacher? He was. He just happened to have all of these gifts. And the reason that God gave him those gifts, verse 12, says, for the perfecting, that word perfecting means the complete furnishing, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, as he operated those spiritual gifts in a local body of Christ, it would help perfect the saints. And when you get the saints perfected, when they are furnished, then the work of the ministry gets done. And when the work of the ministry gets done, then the body of Christ is edified. Okay? And so it builds one upon the other there. So Paul had some spiritual gifts that others did not have. And Paul had each of these gifts listed here that are for specific purposes, as all spiritual gifts are. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. If you're saved, you have some spiritual gifts, at least a spiritual gift. Many of us have more than one spiritual gift. And the reason for the spiritual gift is not say, hey, look at the spiritual gift I've got. That's not it. It's for us to profit the body. Profit with all. With all means at the same time together. Now, when are we at the same time together? Right now. Whenever we meet, we're at the same time together. That's why it's important to be in church. That's why, you know, you can't be edified if you're not here, and you can't do any edifying if you're not here. Right? That's pretty simple. Pretty plain, pretty simple. And that's what he's talking about. Paul said he wanted to impart unto them some spiritual gift. Now, what did he mean by that? Now, we don't get to choose our spiritual gifts, and others cannot choose them for us. Only the Holy Spirit chooses the spiritual gifts. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, as the Spirit wills. He's the one that gives the gifts. Now, when Paul said he wanted to impart unto them some spiritual gift, I believe the context shows that his desire was to share with them according to the spiritual gifts that have been given him. In other words, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He wanted to operate those within the body of the Roman church so that they could be edified and built up and they could be established. And that's shown by Paul's end game there, that to the end that you may be established. The word established means strengthened. Paul wanted to edify them or to build them up in the faith, which is the purpose for spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts are not for us to selfishly use for our own purposes or draw attention to ourselves, which the Corinthian church had a problem with that. You know, they got enamored with some gifts, especially the gift of tongues, and they had to be chastised for that, had to be rebuked for it by the Apostle Paul. But the spiritual gifts rather are to help us do our part to help build up, establish, and mature others in the faith. And that's what we're to be all about. I'm to be about helping you grow in the Lord. You're to be about helping me grow in the Lord and grow together as a church. You know, we're to be in this thing together. And so the gospel is the basis for our prayer life as believers. Now let me ask this in closing. Are you accessing that important prayer life as the asset that it is? You know, realize that prayer is a great asset that we've been given. We have access to God by our faith in Jesus Christ. He mentions this earlier in chapter number 1. Look at, just flip a page back if you're still in Ephesians. Flip back to chapter number 1. And he says here, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted in Christ Jesus. He says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And all of this comes our way because of the gospel. If you are accepted in Beloved, listen, before you got saved, you could not go to the Lord and pray and expect anything to happen. You had no basis of acceptance. But we have a basis of acceptance now. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We plead the blood, amen? The blood's covered us, and we can go and ask. And according to the book of Hebrews, we can come boldly. I know that doesn't mean we come arrogantly. There's a difference between boldly and arrogantly. Boldly means, say, I know that I'm going to be heard. Arrogantly basically demands of God. We have no basis to demand of God anything. But we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. And we ought to do that. So what is the basis of that? Well, the basis of that is the gospel. The gospel is the basis for our prayer life as believers, and we need to access that prayer life as the asset that it is. And so, let me ask you tonight, are you all in when it comes to ministry for our Lord? And He wants us to be all in. He said, oh, well, that's just for you, preacher. No, not just for preachers. Lord wants us all to be full-time Christians. You know, you may not be full-time Christian service in the definition of the world that you get paid to do it, but we are all Christians all the time, and we're to act like that, and we're to manifest ourselves as being believers wherever we go, and 24/7, 365, we are Christian. We don't put on our church face and go to church on Sunday and then take off our church face and put on our world face for the rest of the week. That's not the way it goes. Okay? So, are you seeking the Lord in prayer to make sure your decisions that you make as a believer are in His will and in His timing? Or are you one to pry your own doors open and just do your own thing? You know? God help you if you are. As we come together as the Lord's local church here, is your purpose the Lord's purpose? Okay? The Lord's purpose is for us to be built up in the faith. Okay? Not for us to show everybody how important we are. It's not it at all. His purpose is for us to use the spiritual gifts that His Holy Spirit has given us to do our part and help build up, establish, and mature others. And I hope that if you're not doing that, you know, sadly, a lot of believers don't even know what their spiritual gifts are. Haven't bothered to try to figure it out. And they think by not figuring it out, they don't have any responsibility. Sadly mistaken. Because if you have a spiritual gift and you're not using it, you're going to stand before God and give an account one day. Well, right? You're a steward of the spiritual gift or gifts that you have. You're a steward. We're stewards of the gospel. You know, there's a lot of things that we're stewards of as believers. Amen? I mean, the money God gives us, we're stewards. It all belongs to Him. So I thought just 10% belonged to Him. Well, He just asked us to give 10%. But listen, it all belongs to Him, and He's going to hold us responsible how we spend the 100. You know, not just the 10 to give to Him, but also the 90 that we spend. Be careful what you spend your money on. Amen. Don't think that you can just spend your money any old way and that God will be pleased with it. No. He's giving you that money for His purpose in your life. Are you using it for His purposes? Are you looking, Lord, what would you have me to do this week? And then doing and carrying out the Lord's will for your life. What a wonderful thing in the Apostle Paul's life. Can you imagine how encouraging that was to the Roman church to know of Paul's prayers for them? and Paul's desire to see them just as bad as they wanted to see him. And when it actually transpired, I believe they were a great help to him while he was in prison there. I really do. Because they had a heart after him, after he poured out his heart to them and showed the desire. There in his last days, he was in Rome, and we know that what a great servant of God that he was. So let the Lord use these words tonight in your heart, and have your prayer life up to speed where the Lord would have it, and manifest the gifts and use them according as God would have you to do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father,